Right before Matan Torah, the Rabban Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Read Ha'ed Ba'am, Pen Yersu El Hashem Liros V'Nofli Menurav." Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Vayomer Moshe El Hashem Lo Yuchal Ha'am Lalos El Har Sinai, Ki Ato Ha'edos Abanu Le'mor Hagbel Es Ha'or V'Kidashto." Rabban Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go down again and warn the people that they shouldn't try to come up to Har Sinai. And because if they come up, they're what's it called, they'll be chayiv misa. So Moshe says, they can't come up. We already told them, right? And we made a gvul around the mountain. So what's the purpose of going and warning them again? They were warned already once, and we made a gvul. So the Moshe says, Vayomer Hashem lech reit v'lis atov aronimach. No, go down, finish, you have to go, and warn them again. The question is why? Why was it necessary to warn them again? Because I'll say that you warn somebody when it's theoretical and you warn them again b'shas maisa, but perhaps there's another idea here also. Two possible ideas. The first one is that the Rabbeinu Yonah says that the yisod of avodas Hashem is hakoras mailas atzma. Person should recognize how important he is. And because if you don't think you're important, then why would the Rabban Shalom want you to serve him? Who are you? You're nothing. And if you don't think you're important and you're good for nothing, then why would you be embarrassed or feel guilty if you did terrible things? Because you're not worth anything anyway. So good for nothing things, do good for nothing things. Tells Rosh Hashiva, says that's what we say after Vidui. After we say all the Oshamnus, we say Ovarnu Amitzvosecho Mishpatecho Atovim V'lo Shovelon. We're over on all these good mitzvahs and Lo Shovelon. So simple meaning Lo Shovelon was Lo Hayashaved, wasn't worth it. But tells Rosh Hashiva, says Lo Shovelon means it wasn't befitting me. It wasn't matim for me. Yeah, I did all these things, but that's not me. I'm fit for a lot better. Because if I'm not fit for a lot better, then what's to feel guilty about? I did what I'm capable of doing. This is what I am. But if you know that you're much better than that, and that's why the Tonet Velio says, Chayiv Odom Lomar Bishvili Nivra Odom. You have to say the world was created for you. The Al Yomar, you shouldn't say, Ein Odom Haba, Vein Tchias Amesim. What does one thing have to do with the other? And if the world's not created for you, then there's no Olam Haba and Tchias Amesim, only if it's created for you. Now, the idea is, when the person says, the world was created for me, he means that the world was created for one human being. This world, next world, all the worlds were created for one human being. That's why the Rabban Shalom created the world, for the sake of human beings. And one human being was enough to create everything for. So that means that human beings are very important. And would the Rabban Shalom create all those worlds for 120 years? That's it. Must be that there must be a lot more, right? If a person is as important as an ant, you don't bring an ant back for an encore second time. It wasn't important the first time. So if I'm not so important, the whole world wasn't created for me, then maybe there's no Olam Haba, no Tchias Amesim. But if I'm so important that all the worlds, everything was created for one person, and I'm also one person, then there must be an Olam Haba and a Tchias Amesim. And so that is the chashivas of a person in Avodas Hashem, but it's even more than that. If a person is important, then the Torah is important. And the less important a person is, the less important the Torah is. Because in one respect, the Torah is like the owner's manual to the world. When you buy a car, so you get a thick book that tells you how to use the car properly, what gas to put in it, what detergent to use on the upholstery, what kind of oil, right? Why? Because the person, the company that designed the car, they designed it to run on a certain thing, and therefore they can tell you, we designed it to run like this and not on this. And so the Rabban Shalom designed the world. And he tells us what he designed us to do, what he designed us to eat and to say and to think and to dress and whatever. Now, When you buy a car, you get a nice thick book of instructions. But when you buy a pack of gum, it doesn't come with even one page of instructions how to chew it properly or how to take care of it properly. When you buy a package of tissues, it doesn't come with instructions how to blow your nose and how to take care of the tissues. Why not? Not because everybody knows how to do it, right? Not because everybody knows how to chew gum, but because it's not worth it. It's not worth printing the directions, right? Because if you don't chew the gum right, so buy another pack. If you don't blow your nose right, buy and get another tissue. It's no big deal. But if you don't use your car right and you have to buy another one, it is a big deal. So the more important the thing, the more important the instructions. So if the Torah, the world was created for human beings, and human beings aren't that important, then how important could the instruction book be? Can't be more important than the thing. So the Torah can't be too important. But if human beings are very important, then the Torah is very important. The more important our life is, right? Now the Torah going around saying, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, and that I'm important, is the Torah Gaiva. But it's not Gaiva. The difference between Gaiva and recognizing your own self-worth, self-esteem, is the following. Gaiva is, I'm important because I made myself important, and that gives me rights. And self-esteem is, I'm important because Hashem made me important, and that gives me responsibility. It's the only difference between them. But a person has to feel he's important, and he makes a difference. And how he therefore lives makes a difference. And therefore he needs the instruction book. Then the Torah is important. Therefore, right before Matan Torah, the Rabbanu Shalom wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to go down and to tell the people, look, right, I'm warning you again, don't touch Har Sinai, because if anybody touches Har Sinai, they're going to be Chayiv Misa. And even if one person, that's what it says, Pen Yars Yersu Lalos Al Hashem, Pen Yifrat Zbom. Rashi says that the Rabbanu Shalom said that if it would be the Nofal Mimenu Rav, that even one person, to me, is considered like a multitude of people. One person is a whole olam. The Rabbanu Shalom wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to go and warn them that the people should see, wow, the Rabbanu Shalom is really concerned about our lives. He's so careful as to warn us again. The Chas V'Sholem, one person shouldn't be lost. Because in the eyes of the Rabbanu Shalom, one person is like a multitude of people. So what did they learn from that? That we're very important in the Rabbanu Shalom's eyes. Now he's giving us a Torah to give us directions how to take care of that important life that he gave us. Now the Torah is important. But if they didn't have that preface of how important they were, they wouldn't realize how important the Torah is. So therefore, right before Matan Torah, the Rabbanu Shalom sent Moshe again to warn them and let them know that in the eyes of the Rabbanu Shalom, they're very, very important. That's how a person has to look at himself. Tremendously important. You come from tremendous stock. We're Mibnei Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov. We have great Yichus. And we have tremendous potential. We can emulate Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, be like them. And we have a Torah that every bit of our life, every little thing, the Rabbanu Shalom considers important enough to tell us how to do it properly. It makes a difference. So if you understand that, you understand what it means, how important we are, how much we can accomplish, then you're very careful to keep the Torah properly because you don't want to waste your potential. You don't want to harm the important person that you are. But there's another idea here. There's a Medrash that says the following, that the Rabbanu Shalom had a problem with Moshe Rabbeinu being up on the top of Har Sinai when the Torah was given. The problem was that people may think that Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Luchos. After all, who's up there? Moshe Rabbeinu. So maybe it's not the Rabbanu Shalom. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu got a long extension cord, you know, kept it plugged in Mitzrayim or whatever, and he has a big microphone up there, or one of the keyboards with all these special effects, and he's, what's it called? He's giving the Torah as if the Rabbanu Shalom's doing it, but Kolosin brought him, and it's not the Rabbanu Shalom, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rabbanu Shalom wanted Moshe Rabbeinu down on the ground where the people could see him, not up there where they could possibly think that it was Moshe Rabbeinu giving the Torah. So therefore he told them, look, I want you to go down and warn the people again. But it really, the purpose was to get him off Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu says, ridiculous. I don't have to warn him again. It's not easy going up and down this mountain. And if there's no purpose for it, well, I'm going to go down again and come back up again. Right? So the Rav Hashem told him, no, you have to go down. And the real reason was, not because Klal Yisrael needs to be warned again, but because the Rav Hashem didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu up on the top of Har Sinai. So the truth is, it wasn't so hard to go up and down the mountain. The Netziv says that there was an elevator. The cloud. It says Moshe Rabbeinu went into the cloud, and then the cloud went up to Har Sinai. And I guess when he wanted to go down, he got into the cloud and went down too. But still, Moshe Rabbeinu said, what's the purpose to it? And the Rav Hashem said, no, I want you to do, warn them, because he wanted them off the mountain. So he's bothering me. I mean, don't you think that if the Rav Hashem would have said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to fool him, right? Tell him to do something that really was no purpose to do, and Moshe got chop that was nothing, no purpose, and he had to argue. Why didn't the Rav Hashem said, Moshe Rabbeinu, look, I got a problem. Maybe you can help me. I'm afraid that for all generations, right, Yidden are going to think that you were up here giving the Torah, and it could destroy the chance we have of strengthening the Amuna of Klal Yisrael, the Dorei Doros. So, do you think maybe you could go down and be down there so we don't have any problem? What do you think Moshe Rabbeinu would have said? No, I want a front row seat. I'm staying here, right? Moshe Rabbeinu knows that the Amuna of Klal Yisrael depends on this, and the Rav Hashem can't tell him, has to fool him. Can't tell him, why don't you go down? So I was thinking that perhaps the answer is that the Rabbanu Shalom didn't want to make a precedent that you can ask somebody to mevater on his madrega for even for Klal Yisrael. You can't ask somebody to do that. Somebody has the right to do it himself. They say the Panav Yisharov, had he not gone around the world collecting money to build Panavish, right, probably would have been greater even than the Chazon Ish. He would have been the Gadol Hador. He was a tremendously big Talmud Chacham, as it was he was. But had he stayed in a Beis Medrash and sat and learned and not run over the world to build Ponevish and a million other places because he was indirectly involved in a million different Mekomos of Torah, then he, what's it called, he would have been the Gadol Hador. But the Ponevish Rav felt that nobody else is going to do Mokum Shein Anoshim, right, and there are other Gedolim, and he had to be Moser Nefesh, Mamish Moser Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. A person can do that on his own, but somebody else can't demand him to do it, even the Rabbanu Shalom. You can't demand somebody to Mavatar on his Madrega even for the sake of Klal Yisrael, because who knows what's more important, right? Maybe that Chisar and Emuna for Klal Yisrael, for all the Doros, would not have been as great as Moshe Rabbeinu being on a higher Madrega. Nobody knows. Right? Nobody knows. Because it could be one person, and Moshe Rabbeinu was equal to 600,000 people, the Medrash says. That his neshama was a real quality neshama. So who knows if Moshe Rabbeinu on a higher Madrega wouldn't have been better for Klal Yisrael than the Gans Klal Yisrael on a lower Madrega. So the Rav Hashem did not want to tell Moshe Rabbeinu that he has to do it, or even to ask him to do it, because then there would be a precedent from the Rav Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu that in the future somebody greater can ask somebody to be Mavatar and his Madrega for other people, for Klal Yisrael, and you don't. There's no such thing. A person wants to do it. So therefore the Rav Hashem made it look that he's telling him to go down for the sake of Klal Yisrael, but not to Mavatar and his Madrega for them, because they need to be warned again. That's your job. So for that, I command you to go. But to tell you to Mavatar, your Madrega, you could be up there, much higher Madrega, to be up on Har Sinai, then down with everybody else. And you could reach a higher level. But I'm asking you to give that up for the sake of Klal Yisrael. I don't want that to be a precedent that that's something you could do. So therefore, the Rebbe Hashem told him all this trick, but not to mention specifically that he's asking to Mevatar. In the end, that's what happened, had to happen. But not because, for a different reason, separate side reason, whatever. So maybe those are the two prefaces right before the Torah was given. The Rav Hashem wanted us to know how important we are. Every individual is a world. Not only that, but it could be that an individual can be more important than the whole cloud. Important with the whole world. Not just the whole world is created for me. But it could be that if you fulfill your potential, you're more important than everybody else. And it's not kedai for you to mevater on your madrega, even for the sake of Klal Yisrael. Not, sometimes a person can do that. But no one can demand it because nobody knows what's more important. That's how important an individual is, and that's how you'll have to look at yourselves. That you have this potential, that you are important, not that you walk with your nose in the air and say, well, I'm important, therefore I'm better than other people, and I get rights because of that. That's gaiva. But I'm so important that it gives me tremendous responsibility, and it means that I have tremendous potential, and the Torah tells me how to take care of myself so I don't ruin this tremendous potential. So it makes you more frum, makes you more medaktik b'mitzvahs, and it makes you more feeling more of responsibility, and it gives the Torah much more chashivas, because you appreciate that the Torah is there to preserve that you don't ruin the potential that you have. The reason why the Rabbanu Shel Olam didn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu to go down, because he didn't want him up on Har Sinai, that shouldn't be a sophic of who's, because sometimes something's a self-fulfilling prophecy. What does that mean? Give me an example. Maybe we mentioned it in Shmos, I don't remember. But the Rabbanu Shem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that he should go to Klal Yisrael, and he should tell them that he's the Goel, and Vishomu Lekalecha. And the Rabbanu Shem tells him, they'll listen to you. Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'hein lo yaminu li. I don't think so. They won't believe me. So if you were the Rabbanu Shel Olam and Moshe Rabbeinu told you that, what would you say? What would be your reaction?
I told you to listen.
Who are you arguing with? I'm the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Right? I told you to listen. Who are you to argue with me? That's what I would say. What does the Rabbanu Shel Olam tell Moshe Rabbeinu? You know what? I think I got a point. So if they don't listen to you, then I'll give you one nace. And if they don't listen to that, I'll give you another nace. And if they don't listen to those two, then the third one will help. What, did the Rebbe Shem change his mind? The Rebbe Shem said, V'shom l'kolecha. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I don't think so, they're not going to listen. And the Rebbe Shem says, yeah, you know, you got a point, so I'm going to have to give you three nisim. What's that pshat? So, thinking perhaps the pshat is like this, that if Moshe Rabbeinu had had trust in the people, that they would listen, they would have listened. But since Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure they'd listen, if the leader's not sure, he doesn't trust the people, then surely they're not going to listen. Right? You can't sell something that you don't believe in. And if you don't believe in the people, then they're not going to believe. So after Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'hein lo yaminu li, the Rebbe Shem said, you know, you're right. Now you need three nisim. Had you said, yeah, I believe they'll believe me, they would have believed you. Because you're not sure, Menela. If that's Moshe Rabbeinu saying, imagine if the Rebbe Shem told Moshe Rabbeinu, look, I got a problem. I'm not sure that the emunah that Klal Yisrael could have will be complete, because I'm afraid they may be choshesh that you gave the Torah when you were up here. So I want you to go down. Just saying that already creates in the world a suffix by Klal Yisrael, because the Rebbe Shem has a doubt. And if the Rebbe Shem's doubt is a self-fulfilling prophecy, meaning it's going to make a metzias. And therefore, the Rebbeinu Shem didn't even want to mention such a possibility. So he told Moshe Rabbeinu to go down for other reasons. Ein achinami, that was the cheshbon. But you know, if you say something like that, tiftach pelesotin, right? It's worse than that. If the Rebbeinu Shem would have told Moshe Rabbeinu he has doubts if Klal Yisrael believe, then they surely would have not believed. So he couldn't say that. On the other hand, he wanted to ensure that it shouldn't be sveikus. So he sent him down on a pretext of something else, and not by telling him what he really was choshish for.